had some individual zoning requests for different markers and places.
There's a lot of zoning in two different zones, and it really felt, you know, you could better zone some of the requests.
That's not spot zoning. That's a reasonable request to try and make the zoning fit the area as it should. We got three boards in progress to do with planning and zoning issues. We've got the town board, which has the authority to create local laws which adopt zoning ordinances or zoning changes. They have the authority to do that. Any zoning change that's made has to be done in accordance with the comprehensive plan as the backbone or the guiding document for development theory is how you're going to initiate. You have the planning board in the town, which meets once a month, and when someone wants to do a project that's not, I'll just say vanilla, you know, a single-family home on a pre-existing lot. I want to do a project that's a commercial store. I want to do a project that involves changing this to another use. I want to do a bed and breakfast or something like that. First, the person consults the zoning code, finds the zone they're in, discovers the use, usually sits down with the building department, and makes the determination as to can they do it or can't they do it. Normally, if it's not just a simple residential use, then they go to the planning board. The planning board applies the zoning law, screening, traffic, circulation, lot sizes, setbacks, parking, accessibility, all those issues is the job of the planning board when they review a project. They'll usually have a public hearing, depends on what level of review, and then a project can get approved. As a lot of people know, the Coyote Flacco recently, as an example, is on 9H. They want to move down to the old Philly's grocery store, so they went through the planning board and have a review for that. They haven't started anything yet, but those are the types of projects that get reviewed by the planning board. If someone has a project that doesn't comply with the zoning for some reason, then they have to go to the zoning board, which is the third board that deals with planning and zoning in the town. The zoning board deals with what's known as variances, and they can be area variances or use variances. An area variance, or variance in general, is asking the zoning board to give me some relief from the zoning law because it doesn't allow me to do what I want to do. As a lot of people know, as a result of the comprehensive plan and some other things, some of the zoning requirements were changed. How many acres do you have to create a new lot to be able to build a house on? Some Quabrick had a pretty expansive 5-acre zoning everywhere. A lot of people found that that was too big. I couldn't subdivide my 10 or 12 acres into a 2-acre lot and have my children or my parents or someone else move there. So the comprehensive plan analyzes what's good for the town and what people's comments are. The zoning gets changed by the town board. And then if you need a variance, you ask the zoning board, can you give me a smaller lot size for certain statutory reasons, meaning I don't need it, but I'm unique, it's unique to my lot. So it's not the job of the zoning board. You hear a lot out there, they just pass out variances and let people get away with things that aren't zoning. The zoning board has to go through an analysis and try and make a determination. The zoning doesn't fit what this person's asking, but for the following reasons, we can allow it or make adjustments. So those are the three boards that are involved in planning and zoning in a town process. What we have here is out of our comprehensive plan and then the subsequent rezoning, and then as the adjustments were made, the town of Quabrick had in the 70s when they adopted zoning, or maybe sometime after that, a planned development district law. And that's a type of floating zone where we don't know in the town of Quabrick where someone might want to come in and do a planned development district, some sort of mixed-use project or large-scale residential project. Some people may remember the stewardship at Millbrook Road, which is around that time frame, and they came in and wanted to do a specialized community-based project. And at the time, the zoning didn't allow. You had to have a certain amount of frontage on a town road. You had to build a town road to town specs, which is costly for a developer to do that. So they came in and said, we want to kind of do a hybrid project that allows us to get some relief from the zoning code, make some additional densities in certain areas, preserve other areas of the property, and come up with a cohesive project. Those are usually done through PDDs or PUDs or planned development districts. The town of Quabrick had a law in effect, but it was an antiquated law. When a lot of municipalities adopted zoning in the 70s, it's called Euclidean zoning. It's a list of things you can't do and a list of things you can do. And what happens is the PDD gives some relief to that, but a lot of the PDD laws initially were just can't. They were just passed throughout all the different municipalities. So when the town of Quabrick did its comprehensive plan to rezone, the town knew that the PDD hadn't really been implemented, wasn't really being used. It would take some time or effort to come up with a new PDD law, so it was taken. It was basically taken out of the new edition of the zoning law source. We haven't had a request for anything. As a lot of people know, the market went down in 2007 and 2008, and it's starting to come back now, so there really wasn't a big developer or housing push for these types of projects. So as everybody knows, there's been press on it, Amador Homes has come and requested the town consider adopting PDD legislation for the highway commercial zone, which is in the 9866 corridor. It's actually a little south of the mobile intersection. And the town had a couple of informal meetings. They had Amador come down at one meeting and give an overview of what the project would be. That was supposed to be just one meeting where they were going to say, here's what we would like to do and here's the proposed law that we are giving to the town to look at. But because we took public comment, we had people speak about it, that first meeting went for quite a period of time, so we stopped it that night and had another one where they came in to talk about the law. A lot, I see a lot of familiar faces, so a lot of people were here from both those meetings. The town board has now decided that in the absence of the Amador project, but since there is a request for some sort of PDD or PUD legislation, let's back up and away from the Amador project. Let's get our consultants in. Ray Jurkowski's from Morse Associates, Liz Isenson's from Morse Associates. They both have experience with this. And the town wants to look and evaluate what we would do if we wanted to implement a PDD or PUD zone in that area. And that's kind of from nuts to bolts where we started and where we are today.
Yeah, would this law just be for that? Would you structure it just for that area?
Correct.
That area alone, or you could structure it for the town, but would it be a lot more difficult to do it in the town area? In other words, different areas come in with different proposals, is what I'm saying. So how would you know what comes up?
You can do it either way. You can do it based on a specific zone, or you can make a town law. At this point, again, I believe the town targeted, if you would, that area as a potential candidate for this type of development. So I think, quite honestly, it would be easier to deal with that particular zone. It's not uncommon to then, in 5 years or in a period of time, for the town to reconsider, and based on any development that does take place or any changes in planning methodology, to then reconsider and maybe do something townwide. But at least at this point, it makes sense, since you're undertaking this, to do it for a specific zone. And to the point that Rob made, again, traditional subdivisions, you know, and traditional zoning is, you have certain types of uses that are allowed in certain zones and others that are not. So that gets to the use. Then you also deal with what are known as bulk regulations. Do a traditional subdivision. Traditional subdivisions, you have bulk regulations that dictate the minimum size of the lot, the minimum setbacks, so on and so forth. And when you do that, and to Rob's point, where at one point the town of Clawbrook actually had 5-acre zoning in some of its residential areas, that starts to take up a lot of space, okay? And you potentially get quite a bit of sprawl associated with it. More recent thinking along the planning area is to not provide that type of subdivision, but actually look at clustering. So the houses are denser, they're in certain areas of property, allowing for more green space around the houses and the developed area for common space utilized by anybody within the subdivision, potential for recreational purposes as well. And it does benefit the developer because there's less infrastructure cost also. So there's give and take. And that's one of the benefits of the PUD or a PDD, is it does provide for more flexible development, both for the developer as well as the town. The town, the benefit of the town taking a look at this, obviously, and creating this document is this is going to be your document. And what you want to do as a town is to identify what are your goals. What are your goals as it pertains to what you're looking for in this type of development, whether it's mixed uses, okay, so that way you have both commercial and residential uses potentially on the same property, certain types of housing, if that's the case, recreational benefits that are not only to those folks that are within the facility or within the subdivision or within the area that's being developed, or perhaps public recreational as well. So those are all things to be considered as examples. But again, since it's your document, in mind, it does provide you for greater flexibility. And that's why a lot of the municipalities are really going towards these PDDs, because they recognize in today's market, that they have certain goals that weren't reached in the past, and they don't want to make those same type of planning mistakes.
And so in this area alone right now, it's commercial only. Right. So if any business owner wanted to come in, which we haven't seen any, but if they ever came into this area, they are allowed, right by our laws, to go, as long as they follow all the zoning and planning regulations,
right,
they can put a business into the area.
So
the PDD is going to make it so you could do residential and commercial. Possibly, might not be in a mix, but it's within that area, that important brand. We also had, didn't we have one before that came to want to do on the east side?
East side, yes, that was behind, south of, Village Dodge, probably. And that was around the same time as stewardship at Millbrook Road, and they were gonna do a hybrid, it was like modular homes, but the homeowners wouldn't own the land, they own the homes, I mean.
For seniors.
For seniors, yeah. And that, I think what happened is market forces, market drop, and they just never looked at it.
Okay, you have a question, I'm sorry.
What is the, I've been under the impression that PDDs or PUDs are not used as much as they used to be. That they're not as common, and I'm not aware of other towns in this county that actually have been using. Do you know that?
Town of Stockport had a, I believe it was a PDD law, and they actually had a developer come in and they actually went through the process. They haven't moved forward with that particular project, but the town of Stockport had a PDD on books.
Okay.
That they actually utilized.
But in your experience, even outside the county, are you, I mean, I know I've seen a copy of the town hall, which I guess you can say, but I mean, high FAR towns, districts that maybe they don't say PDD title purposely.
Can you speak up, please?
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm talking about Hyde Park, which is another client of ours, Dutchess County. They don't have a district that is specifically called Plan Development District. They have the Bellafield District, which is specifically intended to be mixed use. It's intended to be a planned compact development, meaning lobes of open space for certain restricted lands. And they have sort of a master plan for the site, and then pieces of it will be built over time. And so was that generated by the town board, or was that generated from a developer coming to them? I'm pretty sure the town board had put it in place, and then a developer came, saw that it was attractive, and did, you know, a master plan for the site. Now, a lot of these communities are setting the internal sort of setbacks and other things having to do with bulk and dimension, having that set when the developer comes in. So, for example, the Bellafield District in Hyde Park has big swaths of setback from external parts of the site. So they might have deep setbacks and buffers, but in the interior of the site, they might have business buildings or mixed-use buildings up close to the street, so it has more of the feel of a village.
That's somewhat similar to Stockport. So in Stockport's case, in that development, their PDD law was not very defined. It did not have a lot of regulations associated with it. But one thing that they did have was identifying the lot count, obviously, from a density standpoint. And in their case, it was based on the number of lots that could be created on the parcel, based on a traditional subdivision, if I remember correctly. So in that case, the developer came in, designed a potential subdivision, traditional roadways and so forth, used up all the land, and I forgot what the ultimate lot count was, but it was sizable. Planning board didn't like that, obviously. Developer also didn't like it because of the amount of infrastructure, so collectively they did have a PDD law on the books, and they moved forward with the PDD process. And from Liz's point, they wanted to see something developed where they're not utilizing all the land, something where the houses were closer together, somewhat if you drive down to Stockville now, again, houses very tight, close to the road, and it gives that village feel or hamlet feel, I think is what they were looking for. But again, once you go beyond those houses, then the rest of it was open green space. Again, for anybody to enjoy as far as I can. So that's what Stockport did. I can tell you, town of Pine Plains in Dutchess County, there's a project coming back to life, potentially. The old Carvel site, if you go along the Taconic, you'll see there used to be the Carvel golf course. So theirs, the town of Pine Plains at one time actually did not have zoning, not too far in the past. So they did not have any zoning. The developer came in, wanted to do a massive development, and ultimately it got shot down. The public had quite the outcry, and that actually started the whole process for the town to actually implement zoning. The interesting part of that was, at one time, Pine Plains was the first town in all of Dutchess to consider zoning, but in the end, it was the last town to adopt it. But long story short with that one was, they also developed a PDD, allowing for various items to be considered in that PDD law, as far as the type of housing and workforce housing, I believe, that they provided into their PDD law as well. For consideration, and at this point, the developer just came back to the town board, and they're interested in starting that process up, and that would be under a PDD law.
Yeah, Hyde Park and also Town of Poughkeepsie have laws that are like planned development districts, but they're naming them according to the area of town where they're located. Now, I know Town of Poughkeepsie is a different world compared to where we are right now. But I know that in Hyde Park, they kind of have a complement of more dense, more intensive, mixed-use type districts, and then outlying areas, they also have very low density, large lots. And some communities view doing more intensive mixed-use thing in certain areas of town as sort of a complement to allowing other outlying areas to remain in those lower densities. And also, on some level, it may take some of the pressure off the town overall to focus development in one area where there is potential for water and sewer, public water and sewer, central water and sewer.
Well, ultimately, it's regarding the overall balance for the town. So again, we may have areas that are more densely developed based on those are the areas that the town itself is targeted through its comprehensive plan and through zoning and through models such as a PDD or some form of a PDD, which then allows the other areas to remain the same, and again, remain more rural.
So it sounds like most PDD laws are very, very detailed, is that correct, in specific geographic areas?
Yes, I mean, as far as the geographic areas, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think they also typically draw on other zoning districts.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're not creating something that's completely foreign to the rest of your zoning. So you might look to against zoning districts.
So would we take our zoning district that we have there now, and that's what we would look at to see how that would work?
I think it's a good guidepost.
The
main thing is that in order to be used to development, you're possibly
Right. But I'm just saying that it gives us a base, like you said, so we're not starting from scratch, saying, okay, we're just going to start this whole process. We start from scratch what we have now, which we've already passed, everything's in there. So now let's just take that and then you move back to work with what you work with.
And depending upon the zoning itself, just one other item, just as a concept, and again, everything, the purpose of today is for discussion, okay? Because again, it's taking that small step backwards to then move forward. But just to discuss again PDD and PUD, because it's a foreign concept to a lot of folks, because most folks, even Columbia County, I mean, the point is well taken, most folks, it's traditional subdivision, it's traditional development. Absolutely. It's the simplest method. You start getting larger developers that have been through the process before, they then may look towards PUDs and things like that. But part of that PDD or PUD, it's to benefit the town, and it's to take a look at what goals you have, but then again, understanding that there's a give and take between the town and the developer. So one of the things, and in many of these PDDs or PUDs, they're sometimes called incentive zones. So in order for you to attain certain goals, you then provide for the potential for greater densities, as an example, to make it worthwhile for the developer.
Then the other thing is if you're allowing them to do more intensive development, you put in some standards to get high quality stuff.
Right.
The town is going to go out on a limb and consider this kind of stuff. It should be high quality, great architectural, great landscaping, all of that. And reasonable setbacks, something that maybe potentially looks a little bit more villagey than a typical strip. Just overall want better design, reach out.
Kippy, if I could, just to kind of give an overlay, because I don't think this project kind of came to the forefront, and we never really looked at that zone and what's, I'd just like to go through the menu of our zoning table for a minute and tell you what's permitted and what's not permitted in the highway commercial zone. So in the highway commercial zone, you can do a one-family dwelling, a two-family dwelling, but those are special exceptions, so they need a review. It's not just go get a building. So some level of residential is there. Mobile home parks, multiple dwellings, like apartment buildings, not permitted in that. No cabins, no campgrounds, no caretaker owner dwellings, accessory apartments are permitted by special exceptions. That's the residential uses that you've got there. Your residential community facilities, no church, no daycare center. You could have a park, you could have a recreation, private or public use park. You could have a library, museum, community center, fire station, or government office building in the highway commercial. You could have assisted living, you could have senior housing, have a nursing home by special exception use, which means they're permitted, they get reviewed by the planning board. General community, a lot of these are, and this is kind of where you get into uses where they made a list in the 70s and they may or may not apply today. There's cemeteries, colleges, universities would be permitted, a hospital would be permitted, a country club would be permitted, a membership club, a public utility structure right away, sewage treatment plant or water supply facility would be permitted. And then agriculture would be permitted, farms, agritourism, farm stands, funeral homes, offices, business professional, greenhouse, commercial plant nursery, veterinary clinic, recreational facility, commercial outdoors, a major sawmill, a minor sawmill, limo or taxi services, auction house, bank, hotel or motel, medical arts building or clinic, dry cleaning facility, microbrewery, farm distillery, wholesale business, automobile rental or lease facility, courier or delivery services, bowling alley, skating rink, eating establishments with drive-ins, convenience store, filling station, non-auto repair, motor vehicle, motor home, motor boat, sales room or outdoor sales lot for farm equipment. We've got our blanket multi-use commercial. That's kind of like your little strip mall, your Phillies type area where you might have three or four stores in one area. Barber shop, day spa, similar business, repair garage, restaurant, tavern, theater, motion picture, and then you've got retail store, kennel, timber harvesting. So, and then you get into some industrial uses, printing or publishing, non-nuisance industry, assembly facility, office machinery repair, truck terminal is not permitted, warehouse is permitted, aircraft repair, multi-use industrial includes manufacture of wind turbines or photovoltaic panels, storage of fuels or other liquids in tanks. So that would be your first fuel, or your other businesses like that. Self-storage, we see a lot of those popping up here and there, or a brewery or distillery. So I know that's a lot for me to rattle off, which you can see in the highway commercial zone. If they wanted to come in, buy lots, subdivide them into appropriate sizes, and say, on this lot I want to do, you know, a kennel, this one I want to do a retail store, this one I want to do a hotel, this one I want to do senior housing, that can happen under the zoning now. And that's kind of why I'm rattling off this long list. Is so when you do it in a PUD or PDD law, you get to take in those combinations of uses and come up with a set of standards or requirements that sets the rules of the game before they come in, buy a lot. Because you know what happens, if they come in, buy the lots, try and subdivide it and say, this one's gonna be a nursing home, this one's gonna be senior, this one across the street's gonna be a commercial building. Then we get into, we need moratoriums, we need to stop zoning, and you make no progress. You guys, by evaluating the PUD or PDD, look at the overall zone, the comprehensive plan, what could benefit the town, knowing what uses for 4 years have been permitted in that zone, and decide how you want to shape that. Gives you that opportunity.
So you could take out some of the things like you said, major sawmill. You know, just think about that. Major log, major sawmill going down there, everybody would hear it. I mean, that's just something legal, just something you could take if this is not going to be allowed.
So in essence, it does allow you to become more visionary.
Absolutely.
Which gives you a little bit more ability to kind of plan in a thoughtful way and direct it as to what it is you actually want to see happen and how you want to lay it out instead of it just
Yeah, to Rob's point, again, it's just, let's say they have 120 acres, whatever the case may be, they could go ahead and subdivide that now, not knowing what the use is, but just cookie cutter, subdivide it out, and then on this parcel, they're going to develop a retail scale. On that parcel, they're going to have residential. The one next to that, maybe it's another industrial. So now you're having these various uses with no forethought of the continuity. How do they work together? Do they work together?
Separate access, separate parking.
Yeah.
Same kind of cookie cutter.
Yeah. So rather than, and again, you start looking at, okay, retail space, it needs so many parking spaces for, you know, for that parcel, and then we need buffers and setbacks. So now you're starting to use up all of that land, but you're not, when I say you, the town,
right,
is not really getting the benefit. If you allow for mixed use and you develop the plan of unit development or the PDD, you can allow for the mixed uses. It could be located off of the roadway, perhaps, and you can dictate a little more of what's taking place on the site, throughout the site, connections between that site and other sites, to create, if you would, the vision.
Right.
Exactly. And I think that's important.
Right. Yeah. Otherwise, you have strip malls, and you know, sprawl is a common term that's utilized as well.
So it sounds like we would have more control over the development of that area.
You potentially could.
Absolutely.
Set thresholds for building footprint size, set thresholds for school size.
Because right now, it's set the way it's set. They can come in as long as they follow the rules. You can't sit there and say no, because we've already had it in place for 100 years. You say, come on and do this.
Because I don't think there's probably not a threshold as far as maximum.
Yeah, there's
45,000. Oh, that's right, 45,000.
And it's 1 acre
portion.
1 acre zone.
That's right. And you can keep that and modify it. So again, to Rob's point and to Liz's point, that's why you take a look at the existing zone and see what components you like. You know, because obviously one of the concerns is big box, you know, and what does that really mean? But again, if you can provide that into this zoning, based on some of the items that you currently have.
So you're saying that's the starting place, so to speak.
Well, most of these also have built into them a process where the town moves the master, referring it to the planning board and getting their commentary and coming back. So somebody has to come up with a coherent plan and show it to you so that it looks desirable. And then once they get that approval from the town board, as time on, whatever they do, it has to conform to that in terms of proportion of square footage, residential and non-residential. You know, maybe they allow one big store but not another, that kind of thing. It would all be in a master plan site.
Yeah, so in Stockton's case, theirs was all residential. They did not have a mixed use, but they had a mixed use as it pertained to single family homes versus another area that had multi-family, if I remember correctly. And in that case, just as Liz has indicated, it came to the planning board first, went through a traditional subdivision, realized that they didn't want to move forward with that. They then went to the town board, petitioned the town board for the PDD, came up with a concept. The town board then approved the PDD and various stipulations. And then put it back to the planning board to, if you would, work out the details from a planning standpoint, which dealt with landscaping, utilities, infrastructure, roadway design, architectural design. They actually, in Stockport's case, they were very specific on the architectural design. So in the residential component of theirs, if I remember correctly, there was an architectural guidance document that actually was prepared by the developer and accepted by the planning board that, generally speaking, outlined, in their case, I think it was 5 different types of homes as far as the architecture, the style. There would be slight modifications that could be made to those, but generally speaking, those were the 5 that were given. Any modification of that would have to come back to the town. So again, not saying that has to be with everyone, but that's just an example of how different communities do it. So again, there's no set saying this is how every PDD is done. actually is up to the township on what standard you want to set and how strict you want that to be.
Can you set it up to, because we're talking residential and commercial, can you set it up so the commercial supports the residential, the businesses? In other words, to a point, like another, let's say restaurants, place with medicine, different place like doctor's office stuff, and something that would support what's there, you know, would help interject with those two, instead of just having a, you know, commercial zone, it's whatever they got over there, we got residential over there.
Yeah, and you can also insist on the types of non-residential uses that bring jobs that are, you know, maybe better paying and require a little more skill that people can kind of go through now instead of just simple retail.
And that's something that you kind of have in the back of your mind is workforce development and how this could enhance, you know, our community and bring jobs back in, and again, in a thoughtful way, so that it works for everyone.
That's true.
Yeah.
And even on the, you can make it to a point, and depending upon the vision, and again, let's get back to that vision. Some communities like Hamlets and want a Hamlet to be considered. That may or may not be the case here. But if that is the case, then they dictate the PDD and the requirements set within that zone to require mixed use. And in some instances, retail, if you think of a traditional Hamlet the way they used to be as far as village centers, this starts to be retail on the first floor, apartments up on the second floor, things of that nature. And in some instances, from an incentive zoning, something to consider, they, in some instances, if you're providing that residential component on the second floor, that square footage isn't included in the overall square footage. Again, it's just an example of how different things can be considered. It's a lot of flexibility.
So you actually become very creative.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
That is the goal.
Yeah.
It's what brought it on was to try to get away from that cookie cutter subdivision.
Exactly.
You know, 30 lots, 40 lots. Again, if there's infrastructure, 100 lots, it's to get away from it.
Another great example, again, it isn't specifically named PDD, but it is planned development. The city of Poughkeepsie and the town of Lloyd worked with Scenic Hudson to create what they call gateway overlay zoning on either side of the walkway over the Hudson. And again, so it allows, for example, in the Hamlet of Highland in the town of Lloyd, somebody building a business allows them to do maybe a couple stories of residential over that. Because the idea is down the road they want to get young couples, young professionals, renting those spaces and walking to work. So that was one of the concepts. And the same thing is true in the city of Poughkeepsie, where they have an area where there are some older businesses that aren't doing very well. They have some vacant buildings. And so when they did the study to look at that, they put down little blocks to show what could be there, with restaurants or cafes on the street, drugstores at the street level, apartments above, offices above.
Yeah, and then when we did the new zoning in 2012, I guess, we didn't have mixed use before that. So that was something that we really envisioned, I think, having, you know, retail or commercial on the first floor and kind of residential on the top floor, and what the business making.
Yeah, yeah. Let people walk in and buy stuff.
I gotta say, I went down to my daughter in San Antonio, and she's amazing we took this tour, but they were explaining how they had done zoning changes. A lot of commercial buildings, brick buildings that would have been run down and stuff like that. And what they did, the infrastructure, they rezoned it so they could have residents on top and some commercial stores at the bottom, and then they put that office in, and it really fit in so nicely, you know, to see how it is. Instead of just having run-down businesses that sit there out of business and they're not going to do anything with it, and then put it zoned for industry, but they're not coming back. So, you know, we've got to do something, and they really fit in. I mean, it really look nice, you know, stuff like that. And people love it because they're close to where they got to go.
It's also the concept that you're the property owner, you're the real estate developer, and you want to try to make things flow. You have a business space and you're renting that business that's coming in, you hope they have a business plan they know how much money they have to make to pay the rent and keep going. You know, everybody operates a loss maybe for a year or two, but over time. And if somebody's developing a piece of land, one of the things that helps them is if they have different kinds of uses. So if they have some renters upstairs, or let's say on the roof, they always know they have some income on that footprint that they have on the ground that helps them know that they're not going to get a little bit of taxes or whatever lives there.
So, any more questions?
Yeah, so really the document can be as creative really as you want. You know, there's no set here.
Stewardship, we ended up not doing a PDD, did we?
No, that was a hybrid. You know, they thought and contemplated that, but that went through planning, zoning, and we didn't make any zoning changes.
So they were able to do that based on what we had in the law?
They went to the zoning board first and basically said, these are the characteristics that we have, and we think we fit into these definitions for them to work. And that's how they got it.
I don't know how they had money or something.
Yeah, and I think for this process, for the board to consider to go forward, and I'll really overgeneralize here, you know, it's like, we have the bakers here. They know you need flour, water, sugar, yeast to make something. So they can put together and give you an idea. And Liz actually recommended to me, she can put together a PDD form to just throw darts at it. That's not going to work. Creating it by looking at the comprehensive plan and the zoning that's in effect in that area. Just to put a document out there to start with. That would be your starting process.
It's always easier for the board or for any, for the public to critique something. So we understand that we're not going to get it right the first time, and we don't anticipate doing that. That's not the goal. The goal is to get the discussion going. It's really to get the thinking process moving for the board to say, no way, this isn't right for our community, or I happen to like this, but I'd also like to take it a step further or modify it, but it's just to get the discussion going. So we'd like to start with something along those lines.
Well, we need something.
And obviously, like,
talk
it's
about
easy.
It. I'd like to look at something to see, because then, like you said, so you can start picking things apart and say, this works, this doesn't work,
right.
This won't work, you know, and stuff like that. It gives us something to go by.
I mean, it can be, as you know, and I'm not, we've had interest by a large-scale distillery that was looking in that area. We've had interest by a large-scale hotel that was looking in that area. It's attractive for development, because it's got two state roads there, and it's, you know, equidistant from some larger areas, Albany, Poughkeepsie, you know, those sorts of things. So if you don't do anything, then if some project comes in, then you get into, we need to stop it, we need to put a moratorium, and then, which may be the right thing. You guys may look at a PDD and say, that's not what we want to do here. Let's just go through the use table and extract the things that we don't want to see in that area as of today, based upon what your comprehensive planning was. So I don't want you to think that this is a forced process or anything. You guys hold the reins.
Right.
Yeah, the PDD can be modified. Obviously, it can be modified. You can provide restrictions, I believe, as far as when a project has to get started as well.
Yeah.
So
and
in
you
case
can put a timeline on the master plan.
Yeah, so that way, in case it's been 10 years, so you get an approval, the developer hasn't moved forward with it. And I'm just using 10 years as an example. It doesn't have to be that long. If the developer doesn't get started, then you can make that developer or any other future developer on that property come back and start the process over.
The other question I had was, as far as the property, the area that we've been talking about, which is on both sides of 9H, can we decide, One thought is, you know, whether or not we ended up coming up with something that we thought would be good for just one side and not the other. I mean, I know the property, I don't know for sure if the property is all one block that's owned by one.
Oh, is one parcel, you mean, or is it two separate parcels?
Yeah,
parcels?
I mean, because it's different kind of land on both sides. One is a gravel line, one is a farm field, well, not very good farm field. I'm just wondering, you know, if it's something that we end up parceling out at some point if we think that that's...
Well, I think that goes along with the idea that
to the future.
Well, that's, I'm just going out.
And to under, try to figure out what makes sense.
Yeah, because I don't believe, the only caveat to that, and maybe I'm just misunderstanding, I don't believe you want to go parcel by parcel and say,
no,
this
no,
parcel
no,
in
I,
zone, we're going
yeah.
to want this type of development.
No,
so
I know
forth.
That.
Okay.
I think you make in the highway commercial zone this type of development is available. And these are the criteria that you apply to. I think I know where you're going with that. On the one side of the street, it would be a reclaiming of gravel.
Right.
Which may be good to repurpose
right.
in some ways, shape, or form. The other way, because we've always valued in the comprehensive plan, I think 98% of the land in Clawbrook is in an agricultural district. So the value to that comprehensive plan and the criteria factors are in the PDD can be advanced up to a higher score source. So that if you're taking agricultural land that we've identified that we're an agricultural community for agricultural use, you're going to create it into a commercial institution, that's what we want to see on that type of area. But doing that through the floating zone, and then whoever the project developer is comes in and says, well, I'm going to do these three lots, and then evaluating it under your PDD law, I think you can spit out some criteria to get you there.
Right. Or if you just wanted to go ahead and say, I'm just doing commercial, and I want to use part of the PDD, but part of the PDD has a residential component as a mixed use, that's the force, if you would, that the board has and the town has to say, well, if we're going to use that criteria, we do perhaps want to look at mixed use, a true mixed use. So yes, we understand that you want to build that portion as a commercial, but recognizing that there still may be some sort of residential component on that parcel. Maybe it's a small scale, but at least there's something.
And this will only affect the highway commercial in this particular area. We do have a few other smaller highway commercial areas.
That's up to the board to decide.
We just need to make sure that we keep that in mind.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because they're much smaller.
Right. And that's, that's, I guess, going back, it's the vision. You know, whatever the board's vision is in the community, it's not only the board's vision, it's the community as a whole. I mean, that's why, going back to the comprehensive plan, quite honestly, if you haven't done so, I'd recommend for the board to go back to the comprehensive plan, go back to the comprehensive plan and just read through that, because obviously there was a lot of time and effort by the community putting in it. It's a good document. And building off of that, maybe even discussing it with some of the committee members. What was the thought process behind this?
Right, because honestly, it's, you know, to my knowledge, it's supposed to be reviewed every 5 years. I don't know when the last time it was reviewed, really taken, you know.
No, we're overdue for updates.
So
it turned out. I mean,
so
many towns from what I understand.
Most towns are.
It's not unusual.
Yeah, most towns are.
It may not be unusual, but in this instance, it might be a perfect time to say, you know what, we have to take a look at this because in some cases, things change. And maybe things are relevant and maybe they are no longer. So I think that's something that needs to be looked at also.
To do an update without doing this.
Yeah, we actually had a conversation with the but the person who helped us out just to kind of get a sense of what
we
it would cost.
Yeah.
So
like
we've
said,
done a little bit of that,
like
that exploring.
Yeah.
And
we don't
now
want to go through the years it took us to go through again.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because that's what, it's funny, Greenport, they started the master plan process back in the 1970s,
right.
But it never got adopted.
Right.
And so the town board recognized that it wanted to have a comprehensive plan, although it didn't want to start that process all over, so it actually concentrated on certain components based on the pressures of development that had been taking place. And so they concentrated on certain aspects or chapters that would normally be in a comprehensive plan, but they didn't do a very broad comprehensive plan that was the most interesting.
Yeah, and now with technology, it's probably, I know it's a lot easier to get input.
Yes.
That it was even in 2007 when this was done, and I mean, there's not one word in this entire comprehensive plan that even mentions broadband, which gives you a sense of if you know how things have changed in 10 years. I mean, right now, that is the biggest thing that we hear, especially with business development, the need for broadband, but personal too, because people go home. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. The biggest thing I'm looking at too is when we talk about this. Want to make sure that the commercial part of it is not clustered around the residential part of it, you know, because you're going to have people in residential that will be coming to the board complaining about the commercial part of it. You know, you don't want to have have an overrun where it's set up so it's not overloaded.
Right.
You know, because then we can set this thing up, and all of a sudden you've got some businesses there that don't go with the residents, and, you know, and then we're gonna be sitting here going, oh boy, you know, this is not good. So we have that now.
Yeah, and a lot of that really comes down to the point of good planning. And again, the town board is kind of creating the ability for it to take place and to give that vision or broad brush or approach of what we want with the comprehensive plan, how we would like to see that area develop. The details on how that comes along and comes together is when a developer comes to the town board with a plan, you can then say, we don't like this because we think the residential components may be too close to, if there's an industrial component or whatever the case may be, and working with the developer to start separating those and modifying it, and then also obviously as it gets to the planning board, that would further refine the details of it as well. So it's a work in progress. I mean, the process itself, from a development standpoint, from when a developer comes in and actually puts together an application to the board for consideration, to the time it actually goes through the planning process, it's extensive. It's not an overnight process. It's actually a little more complicated. And in many instances, you weed out the developer that has the ability of doing it and doing it the right way, which is what Liz was kind of mentioning, versus those developers that were just, they're in it for the quick buck, so to speak, and they're going to just go ahead and do a traditional commercial, you know, no mixed use whatsoever, or just a traditional subdivision if that's what they're interested in. But unfortunately, that's not great use of space as far as green space and this space over there.
And
the
I think, I think the whole thing about having, business in the area, if they're doing a healthcare facility with a more institutionally useful service use, they don't have to have that. So some of that will sort itself out. There are a couple things in Collins PDD that I remember doing. One of them is a resource analysis step. It would be part of the master planning step. So you're supposed to just bring you a map that says, this is the site, this is what's on the site right now. Here are the wetlands, here's the farm field, and try to identify areas where they think development should occur or where things should be left alone. So that's the time when you can agriculturally identify that as, well, let's keep that as an amenity that we have agriculturally in the future.
The other thing that I think we've got to really look at too, we're going to put a senior citizen housing or assisted living housing, the parts that support that, you know, to make sure there's support there for that, because they are the older people, that they need support to make sure it's there for them. They're going to move here for a reason, but they don't want to be just left out here by themselves, and, you know, 911, they got to come all the way. Whatever we have to do to get that with the developer would say, okay, we're going to have support set up for these housing developments like that.
Have that
continuity
care. That's a plan development.
Yeah.
I did want to understand. So that part. So what you're saying is it's transition. That would should be.
That's one type.
Yes. You know where.
Village of New Paltz and town of New Paltz type development.
Woodland Pond.
Woodland Pond. Yeah. Woodland Pond. And in that case, they had there were three components, if I remember correctly. There were cottages, so there were duplexes.
Independent.
Yeah. And then they had an actual independent living as far as apartments. And then they went to assisted living.
They don't have nurses.
They tried to go to Pine Haven, right?
Yeah, same thing up here. Pine Haven. The other thing, too, is emergency services.
The transition of care.
Exactly.
I'm worried, too, for emergency services. Well, look what happened here at, you know, Pine Haven. There's no ambulance service here. They come on Hudson. So, kind of interject that and say, okay, we're going to have senior citizens here. What can we do to interject with an ambulance bay up that way? And that area would be great. We have Whittier already there, so, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, maybe we can do something like that. And that would be, they would have a bay set aside specifically in that area. If they, you know, something we can bring to the developer to support the senior citizens.
Plus, you know, baby boomers sort of moving through the snake, if you will. You know, there's a need for rehab for people that are maybe they're even temporarily, and then they go home. And then maybe having service in their own homes.
Right.
Maybe a base for in-home
lot afterwards, so, I know we have a lot more to do on our agenda, so I guess, basically what we're looking at now, that you would maybe get something together for us to look at and give us an idea of what we're talking about. We've done a lot of talking, but now we wanna sit down and make an idea and see what we represent, see.
I mean, the idea I think is to make theater that the town feels comfortable with, because the thing about zoning is, you know, it's in place, it's not forever, but it's in your code for a while, so it's gotta be something that you're truly comfortable with and live with. You know, as far as I'm concerned, preparing zoning is nothing to do with authorship, it has to do with putting together a package that you can tear down and rebuild and come up with a vehicle that will work for the town, that's the goal.
So is what you're gonna be putting together, a vision document or actual?
I'm gonna put together more nuts and bolts type stuff.
Zoning.
Certain components I think that should be in there.
Okay, but are you gonna go so far as in the first reiteration, giving us,
I think we should.
I'd like to take a gap.
The vision, honestly, that gives you.
You know, sure. No, I'm just asking what to, I just don't know what to expect.
I think I would work with Rob and Ray to take a stab at, you know, coming up with a complement of uses.
Yeah.
And what's gonna be principally permitted, what's gonna be special use, and also come up with some bulk, you know, dimensional setbacks. How much impervious, how much open space.
Maybe like the structure of it.
Right.
And with that, we would then, under the guts of it, and then we would look at it, and bring our views, our visions, our kind of like dream, so to speak, and kind of put it all together.
Yep.
Pick and choose what we want in and what we want out.
Exactly, right, yeah, you may look at something and say, that's too restrictive, or not restrictive enough. And that's the type of input that we wanna hear back. And you may not have an idea. You may say, what does this mean? You know, whether it's a density issue or an impervious, then that's when we come back to you and say, you know, provide you more detail. So don't be influenced if you don't know the answer to something. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want to hear as well. So we know, you know, not only do we want to hear the good, the bad, but the ugly, okay? I just don't understand. Your point's not getting across. I don't get a sense of scale of what you're trying to get across here. So then we'll be back onto our shoulders to try to make sure that the
it's kind of like to overgeneralize again, that first meeting with the architect, you tell him I want a 2,000 square foot house, I want it to be one story, but it's gotta have 2.5 baths. Like, that's the nuts and bolts. And then they'll put it together into a sketch, to a plan, and bring it back. And you'll be like, no, we don't want a garage there. We never do that. I didn't think of that. And that's your task in growing the document.
I mean, I guess what I envision would be coming up with something that looks.
Using your zoning as a template.
Yeah, using your zoning as a template, some ideas about resource analysis.
And I'm gonna just throw this out, because it is just a workshop at this point. When I think of assisted living, transitional, you know, senior to just starting with independent and then moving to, you know, right, I think of that as being a separate development versus one that has just senior and then maybe, you know, housing that would be for any age. You know, I have been to communities where they have a transitional,
mm-hmm.
and usually the shops and all of that are very much geared toward seniors. And so maybe that's, you know,
yes.
two different things that we could look at, you know, and try to sense of what would work best for us.
Yeah.
Anything you can consider senior components. Again, not saying that wholesale, it has to be either.
Right.
Apartments versus a senior apartment, or maybe you have residential and you have certain blocks, percentage that are geared towards. Because again, keep in mind, Columbia County is one of
the oldest
counties in the state.
Yeah.
And again, you know, that's a good thing, because what we're finding, quite honestly, is that, you know, some kids are still staying around. Folks don't want to move down to Florida. They want to stay in the area, but they don't want to live in their house. Again, their partner may have passed away. It's too much care as far as yard work, maintenance, and everything else that goes along with it. And they want to downsize. But they do, because they, whether it's family, whether it's just familiarity with the area, they want to stay in it. So,
and on the other side, the millennium, they want not to necessarily have the burden of owning a home and having to maintain and take care of those things. So not everybody, you know, follows suit, but there are, you know, that generation also that is looking for housing and just a little different, you know, less.
This is for my aggression in certain areas in the valley.
Yeah.
Basically, that's for the easy rental.
Absolutely.
And this, you know, a certain amount of density may be creating the opportunity for different levels of training. You have to go to affordable or subsidized
right.
Anything. If you have enough density and enough variety and stuff to market rate units, you know, I've been affordable housing, but I mean, have subsidy.
Well, I'd like to get like you said, you get a document, beginning of something to go by, and then I think we can bring in our planning and zoning boards to sit with us on the round table and sit down, whoever would like to come and help and look at it. And we start going through the process, just like you did the comprehensive plan, for ongoing process, stuff
like
that.
Very
we're going to tear stuff out, we're going to put stuff in, and we're just going to see what's going to really work up in that area. So that's, I think, our next step. It gives us something. Do you have an idea of how long it would take for you to get a basic?
Probably put something together.
Okay.
I mean, I would run and run it by Rob.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sense.
You know. And then, like I said, then when we get that document, mm-hmm. then we'll set up and we'll go with our planning and our zoning, and we'll get in touch with everybody and we'll try to set up another round robin meeting so we sit here and discuss it and look at it. It gives us something to look at.
And obviously, you know, we're here to assist. I mean, that's
right.
The thing that is, as Rob said, you know, we're the coach. It's your document,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we encourage embracing it, the feedback, poke holes into it. Believe me, you're not going to go ahead and you're not going to offend us. We're here to serve you as far as that's concerned, and to try to get the best documents that we can.
Well, I got to say this, it might work better than having some business come in and say, I want to put up this big building and I want to go do this and I'm going to do this and take all this, which we know the Ginsburg process was right up the road. What we went through with that one, so I mean, you know, let's be honest with each other. What would be better for the citizens and stuff like that? I've never looked at, you know, what happens. Okay, I'm not going to open it to the public. I'm sorry, but we got a lot of stuff to keep going over here yet tonight, stuff like that. But I would appreciate, I do have some nice letters that have come in, and I would like to have people write more if they would like to. There's nothing wrong with that. We will be opening it to the public down the road, absolutely, once we keep looking into that. Like I said, we're not going to keep anything from you. It's going to be all open. You know, like I said, I've already opened two meetings up, and we just had a preliminary, just a presentation, and that's all we did, and we listened to the public for two meetings. So we will be talking to you more often. But we have other things to do, so you're welcome to stay, or you can hang around, or whatever you want to listen to what we have to do.
Thank you.
No, I don't know if I got a card.
The line's stuck.